Good morning, everyone. It is really a pleasure to be here. Thank you for coming. And as Tom was going through that introduction, and we think of the years that we had spent in the Philippines, I feel very confident that many in this auditorium this morning have prayed for us during those times that we were in the Philippines and at Faith Academy. And Mary joins me in thanking you for those prayers. And as we undertake new responsibilities at Christian Missions in Many Lands, the facility that Tom was referring to, we continue to covet your prayers, especially as we go through this transition. And I am delighted, we are delighted that Mert and Jane are in close proximity. They're in real close proximity. And that's a real blessing to us. What a great day to ponder the question, can God use me? And the obvious answer indeed is yes, but it's still good to ponder that question, to understand and come to grips with the reality of that question. We had a good beginning as Paul encouraged us to understand what it means to know good foundations. We probably all have a great testimony of our upbringing and are thankful for those roots that helped establish good foundations. But it's a wonderful question to ponder. Can God use me? I thought God was using me. We were in happy fellowship Andover, and still are happy fellowship with Andover Bible Chapel, although proximity takes us away from there. We were involved in the Sunday school. We were involved in camp work. We were involved with choir. But I started to understand that that involvement, that experience, was more on my terms and not on God's terms. As Paul was recounting those characteristics of postmodernism, I could easily look back and start to see some of those become a real reality in my life, especially that first one. Ooh, that was hard to see, because it started to take root in my life. I was quite content with serving God on my terms and not on His terms. The truth of the matter is God wants to use us. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to use ordinary people. Isn't that a tremendous reality? As we think through, can God use me? I learned some lessons along the way. Regardless of how inadequate we may feel, God is looking for ordinary people to simply surrender their lives to Him and let Him have control and give Him what we have. And there's the essence. Give Him what we have. Another lesson that I learned: you cannot serve two masters. We find that in the Bible. We were reminded how important the authoritative word of God's holy word, is to us today. You cannot serve two masters. You'll either love one and hate the other, or cling to one and despise the other. Trying to serve two masters can only lead to burnout, frustration, poor mental health, irritability, and confusion. We don't have time this morning to review the characteristics of the life of Moses, but you'll remember that Moses had a tremendous beginning. He served in the courts of Pharaoh. He was God's man for His people. Then he found himself in a real difficult situation. He saw a fellow Israelite being beaten up by an Egyptian. He took that Egyptian's life and fled for his own life, and for the next 40 years served by watching over sheep. God had to get his attention. And off in the distance, he saw a bush, a burning bush. But it wasn't being consumed. Well, that would get our attention, wouldn't it? Moses approached that bush and very clearly heard the voice of God say, Moses, go back and take my people and lead them. Moses, all he could do was come up with excuses not to do that. God, it's too late. You should have seen me 40 years ago when I was young and fit. God, I was well spoken. Not now. Most of my conversations these last 40 years have been with sheep. God, I can't even speak the language anymore. God, I am no longer credible with my fellow Israelites. God, it's too late. I had my chances. I blew it. And then God asked Moses a great question. And he simply said to Moses, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And that same question may be asked of us this morning. What do you have in your hand? You know, it's so easy. And many times we dwell in the past and dig up our failures, our mistakes, and our wrong decisions. But God is asking us this morning, what do you have in your hand now? What do you have in your hand today? For Moses, it was a rod, a simple shepherd's tool, wonderful for working with sheep. That was his legacy after 40 years. And God says, that'll do just fine. And Moses was told to throw it on the ground as a reminder and a very powerful demonstration to him as to who was indeed in control. And then he went to pick it up again, and that rod, that snake became a rod. And so what do you have in your hand today? I had to deal with that question 20 years ago. My burning bush was the reality of possibly losing my teaching job. And I looked in my hand, and there was a teaching degree. And God said, good, there's an opportunity for you to serve at Faith Academy. And I'd like to just pause here for a moment and give a little video presentation on the ministry of Faith Academy. It's a school for the children of missionaries that Mary and I were part of for these last 20 years. And the Lord has graciously given us opportunity to mold and shape and work with the lives of young people. Never thought that I would be doing such a ministry. And it's something that we really became to love. And so I would invite you to just sit back and relax, fasten your seatbelt. We're going to whisk off to the Philippines and ponder, if you will, that question. What do you have in your hand? And then we'll come back and give a little report on some of the things that are happening in the Philippines. Faith Academy.
Southeast Asia remains one of the most challenging mission fields in the world. The gospel reaches more people and more places than ever before, but the work remains far from finished. In the Philippines alone, there are still many people groups who have had no contact with the gospel. Numerous tribal groups do not possess a single copy of the Bible in their language. Beyond this, there exist countless churches whose current leaders and future leaders desperately need training. Missionaries exist to engage in this kind of work, but they need support. And while they're on the field, their children need an education. Faith Academy exists to meet this pressing need. Faith Academy dedicates itself to educating the children of Christian workers in Southeast Asia. But providing a high-quality education is only the beginning. Faith's location in Asia allows the school to serve families throughout the Philippines, as well as those working in many countries in the 1040 window. Providing a high-quality education is only the beginning. There are so many reasons to love Faith Academy. Education at Faith Academy begins with elementary school. K through 5 elementary school gives students a great start to their education with its own independent library, computer lab, and other facilities.
Everybody works together.
It's like a community, it's a family. Everybody working together to try and make this the best school it could possibly be.
I get to be with my friends.
The teachers at Faith come from many different countries, and they bring a variety of strengths and different approaches to their teaching.
I just think I can explain things well.
The opportunity to help parents continue on in the ministry that God has called them to.
At Faith Academy, education continues and expands in middle school. Students in grades 6, 7, and 8 build on their education and receive dynamic opportunities to learn beyond the classroom.
They're more like friends than mentors.
When you have problems, you can just go up to them and they'll help you through it.
If you're like having problems with homework, they'll help you, and they wouldn't like take the whole class time, but they'll make sure that they help you with everything, and they love to help out. And, you know, you can just sit down and talk to them about anything. You know, you can talk to them about how your spiritual walk is.
The students, for the most part, a huge majority, really genuinely want to grow in their relationship with Christ. And that's evident in, of course, the way they live their lives and the decisions they make.
It's the atmosphere that we're all come from similar backgrounds, but we're all different at the same time.
A lot of them are spiritually inclined, and they have the Word of God in them.
Like, our class may have some groups and stuff, but we're all friends and we don't leave people out.
1 week of every year, students enjoy outdoor education, a great opportunity to learn about the country and environment in which they live. The 4 years of high school complete a Faith Academy education. The educational options offered to students vary as much as the students themselves. Labs, languages, and even AP classes allow students to maximize their potential. High school students compete in several varsity sports, including volleyball, rugby, basketball, and more. Each year, the student body of Faith Academy performs in several concerts and theatrical productions. But at Faith Academy, learning goes beyond the classroom. Because many parents live outside the Manila area, Faith Academy maintains a well-developed boarding program, meeting the needs of students who live away from their families for a time. Making up about 12% of the student body, the middle and high school students in boarding homes develop close relationships with their dorm parents and dorm brothers and sisters in a family atmosphere.
Life in boarding is very unique, especially at Faith. You're in close contact with dorm parents who care about you so much, and really, you are their number one priority.
You have a Christian leader other than your parents teaching you and being your authority. And so you can really learn from them and grow a lot.
It's right in between family life and living on your own. So it gives you structure as well as your own independence to make your own decisions.
2004 saw the inauguration of a Korean studies program at Faith Academy.
We have a Korean population of about 25% of the whole school demographics. These students go back to Korea, most of them go back to Korea, and we do need to equip them, get adjusted to Korean lifestyle and the university.
1 year later, a Korean dorm opened to serve the increasing Korean population on campus.
A dorm should be a home for students. And then many Korean students, when they are in dorms with the Western dorm parents, they will have to eat the Western American food. They will have to act like one of the Westerners to fit in. So when we have a Korean dorm with Korean dorm parents, that they will feel more at home.
Life at Faith Academy also affords students and faculty many ways to interact outside of the school day. The close-knit community means that teachers know their students on a personal level and thereby gain valuable opportunities to impact their lives.
As our students come from such interesting life situations and interesting experiences, different countries around Asia, they bring their experiences together, and yet they're normal kids. But it comes together in both teachers and students working together in that kind of environment.
Teachers and students don't just involve in classrooms, but they involve outside of classrooms and in their personal lives.
They're very open to relationships. They don't want to come here and just teach. They want to do ministry with students, and they want to build into students' lives in a spiritual way. And
Faith Camp teachers are very, very friendly, close. Some of the teachers even help people after school. It's just, I find them very encouraging.
Just how you can get close to other, like, different cultures and different types of, you know, nationalities, and you can make friends with all sorts of different people.
I love the depth that you can go, even with a short time, people coming here for just 1 year maybe.
At Faith Academy, I'm not just teaching students in my classroom, but I'm also part of the evangelization of Asia. It's double bang for my buck. I'm not just teaching the classroom, but also part of a huge enterprise that's worth doing, and I'm enabling that enterprise.
Encouraging students to develop a healthy spiritual life is a high priority to the staff and faculty of Faith Academy. From kindergarten through high school, students attend weekly chapel meetings where they receive biblical instruction and encouragement to follow God in every aspect of their lives. But as James says, do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. A living faith in God means putting that faith into action.
Last spring break, we took a group of about 14 students, and we did some carnivals in different areas around Manila, and we were able to use those as evangelistic meetings with the kids of those neighborhoods. We have opportunities for our students to be involved in ministry outside of Faith Academy, whether that means going down to the children's home or the baby's home. We've also done ministry in the past to the leprosarium, as well as many other opportunities through our ministry day, where we take the entire high school student body and go out off campus.
One of the most visible outreach ministries of Faith Academy is All for Jesus, better known as A4J. Each week, hundreds of children from the community come to campus to play games, make crafts, and sing songs, all the while hearing the gospel and experiencing the love of Christ. Faith Academy's family reaches outside campus and beyond the borders of the Philippines. An essential part of Faith Academy are the people all over the world who help the school function by supporting the more than 150 faculty members and staff who have made the commitment to educate the children here.
So why do we love Faith Academy? The answers are as numerous as the people here. There is always a role in life to be filled on this campus. Why not come and discover how you might meet a need at Faith Academy?
There are plenty of needs and opportunities to fulfill, not only at Faith Academy, but throughout the Philippines. Startling to know that of the 83 million or so that are in the Philippines, half, and that's starting to approach 60%, are under the age of 15. Folks, if you're here this morning and you enjoy working with young people, there's no lack of opportunity in the Philippines. You saw our chaplain, Don McKay, make mention of participating in carnivals. There's just a wealth of opportunity to help young people come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because there are many young people that need to hear the sound of the gospel. Children's homes, there's church planting opportunities, there's opportunities in the healthcare fields. And one that my son-in-law, he's 6'8", he's in the Philippines, he's our business administrator at Faith Academy, involves himself with a basketball ministry. I saw Don Dunkerton here earlier. Don, we need to get a team that we can take to the Philippines and spend some time getting to into some of these small barrios and get the word out to these young people. There's also opportunity in other realms. There's the Emmaus Bible correspondence. There's prison ministry. There's the radio work. Cyril Brooks years ago began a ministry called Bible School of the Air that is still thriving today. It's a wonderful medium whereby the gospel gets out. There's camp work. And David Harvey tells me that there's even opportunity for building and maintenance, because there's four building projects ongoing simultaneous, and he would love to have people come and help out with that work. And so, what do you have in your hand? It's not too late. God doesn't throw people away. You may not feel like you have very much at all, but God wants to take what you have and those weaknesses that you perceive and those inadequacies that you perceive and give you his strength. Can God use you? Can God use me? He sure can. And he's asking you to take a good look at what you have in your hand. Continue to pray for the Philippines. Pray for Faith Academy. If there's any teachers here this morning, come see us. Mary and I will be here throughout the day. We'd love to talk with you about opportunities in the Philippines. Thank you very much.